morning, good afternoon, good evening, good middle of the night, wherever you may find yourself around the world.
Hello and welcome to Developpod, the podcast from the IATEFL Teacher Development Special Interest Group. My name is James Taylor, and on today's episode, we're going to preview the upcoming PCE event for the IATEFL conference. Now, as I'm sure you are aware, the conference is not happening as usual this year, and indeed the PCE is not happening as usual as well. So usually the PCE stands for the pre-conference event, and the event will take place one day before the main IATEFL conference begins. This year, the P stands for post, and in fact, we're going to have our PCE after the main online IATEFL conference. It's going to be happening on the 31st of July, and in today's episode, you're going to hear from the speakers. Now, bear in mind, of course, that these interviews were done way back over a year ago when it was supposed to be a face-to-face event. So just bear that in mind as you listen to the interviews. I think I've managed to sort of take out any references to a face-to-face event, but just in case I miss something, there's the context for you. But the talks are going to be the same as they would have been in the face-to-face event, so the content remains relevant. So you're going to hear from the four speakers. First, you're going to hear Christian speaking to Elena Osiemska, and then Tanya spoke to Nermeen Abd Elkader. And then finally, there are two interviews that I did with Divya Madhavan and Michael Stout. I'm sure you'll find them interesting and enlightening, and a nice preface to the upcoming PCE.
My name is Elena Onsoskaega, and I'm an English language teacher and teacher educator working at a state university in Macedonia. Actually, North Macedonia as of late. I teach some EAP modules, but also I'm very involved in supporting pre-service teacher education.
So you're going to be one of the four key speakers at the PCE at IATEFL. What are you going to be talking about at the PCE?
So being a teacher educator among my other roles, I've been fascinated by an interesting mentoring model that I discovered some time ago. It's called Systematic Informed Reflective Practice. It was developed by Angie Malderes. Angie Malderes, by the way, was my supervisor on the MA course I did at the University of Leeds, and that's how I got to know more about her and her work. This specific mentoring model I find is not written about as much as it should, I feel. So this would be an opportunity to talk about it and also to share some experiences of using it with my pre-service teachers. In a nutshell, this mentoring model puts the mentee center stage in a way. So we start by what mentees noticed themselves from their teaching or observation sessions and take it from there, really. So the assumption is that people are more likely to learn from the episodes that they notice themselves. And in mentoring situations, we all too often find mentors doing much of the noticing for the mentees. This model suggests that maybe we should adjust the focus a little bit to what stood out for the mentee, the likelihood that they're going to learn from the episode is much higher because what stood out for them suggests that they're primed to learn something related to that episode.
Thank you, Elena. I'm fascinated with this talk, and I'll certainly be there. It's something I haven't heard of. Mm-hmm. Why did you choose this topic?
Well, I've been using this model for some time, and I've been using it with groups of pre-service teachers, although the model was initially designed to be used in one-on-one mentoring sessions. also I've used it in my pre-service teachers individual written reflective papers. So they also use the same structure when submitting their written assignments. So I think I have some experience to share with like-minded colleagues and see how people feel about this, because I really feel that this model is in stark contrast to the well, the very spread positive, negative, positive feedback sandwich.
Yes.
So since I'm guessing most people will be using that kind of model, and I'm really curious to see to get people's thoughts about an alternative of this kind. Mind you, in this model, the mentor really takes the back seat. So the mentee does the reflection, does the learning. The mentor steers the conversation in this or that way, but really does not direct the whole thing. Instead of being the director, the mentor is in the audience, really helping, obviously, and you know, some degree of sharing advice, exchanging of information, obviously, is there. You know, we're not throwing that out of the window, but it's very much in the background. So that's the main difference between this model and the you know, the positive, negative, positive sandwich.
Elena, I have so many questions to ask you, but I think I'll wait and bite my tongue until after the PCE. It sounds like a very exciting topic.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to discussing it with you and everyone else in the audience.
Me too, very much so. So thank you once again, Elena, and we'll see you at the PCE.
Thank you very much.
So thank you very much, Nermeen, for joining me today in our virtual studio.
Thank you for having me, Tanya.
My pleasure. And so, as you know, we're hoping to just find out a little bit more about your presentation. So maybe a general overview, and why did you choose that topic?
So as you might know, I have a PhD in education, and my dissertation was about dialogic pedagogy. So it's about dialogue in the classroom. And after I got my PhD, I made it a mission for myself to see how dialogue could work in different settings and with both educators and students. So in this presentation, I'm just focusing on dialogue and teachers' development. And I'm trying to see how we can get teachers to monitor their own class talk, to assess it and evaluate it, reflect on it, and implement changes.
Okay.
So how to support teachers if they want to do their own action research on themselves in the classroom while they talk to their students, how they can do that. How can we support them in this process? So my talk will be divided into two things. First, I will try to get the audience on board of how important classroom talk is to students' learning and also to teachers' personal development. And then I'm going to try to show them a model where they can use with their teacher in their teacher development sessions, or if they are teachers, they can use for themselves when they're trying to reflect on their own practices in the classroom.
Nice. Oh, that sounds really great. And are you using this model yourself right now in the classes that you're teaching?
No, I'm not using it. I'm not using it because my presentation will be targeting teachers who are, because I did have two kinds of ideas, because this can go along a continuum. It can start from teachers who are not very much experienced in the classroom to teachers who are actually veterans. And those are two different things. Those will be two different models. So the model I'd be presenting in our event would be for teachers who are either inexperienced or with little experience or would like to know more about classroom talk. as opposed to the more liberal one, the more open-ended one that can be used with teachers or veteran teachers, but they are just seeking to improve their class dialogue. What I call dialogic provocation, how you get others to talk.
Ah, interesting.
Which would be for more teachers who are more seasoned, right? Mm-hmm. They're already okay with running a class discussion. It is just that they need to take it up a notch.
Mm. And so this model that you're presenting, do you find that it's applicable to a wide range of contexts then?
Yes, for sure. So this model I'm adapting from a book that was written about dialogue talk by Jess Wick. I don't know if you have heard of her. I'm adapting the model. So I'm not using it as she has used it. So I am I'm implementing changes based on my recent research. I have been doing recent research, or I would not say research, I'd say literature review on classroom talk. So I'm hoping to merge what I learned from the literature review with what Jess Wick included in her book and come up with a model that teachers can use.
Mm, okay, and that model.
So you're asking if it has been tried, if it has been already researched. Well, I mean, part of it has, which was the part that was discussed in Jess Wick's book. But the part that I'm implementing will be brand new. You guys will have a groundbreaking experience with that. So we'll see how this will work. Yeah.
Excellent. Exciting. That's great. So thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much, Tanya.
Okay, so I'm joined now by Divya. Hi, Divya. Thanks for joining us on DevelopPod.
Hi, James. Really happy to be here.
So you'll be one of the speakers at this year's PCE at IATEFL. Can you tell us a bit about what you'll be speaking about?
Yes. So my talk is called How I Stopped Teaching, and it's about language training in EMI. So EMI is English as a Medium of Instruction, and it refers to the practice, usually in higher education, of teaching subjects in English without specific language learning goals. It's not quite like CLIL in that there are language and content goals. With EMI, it's just, you know, a scientist or an engineer in my case who teaches quantum physics in English, etc.
I see, yeah.
So this is what I've been doing with my time for the last 3 years. That's why I've kind of been off-grid, because I've been on a very big EMI project to prepare a new curriculum in English. And my talk is basically about all the hard bits of what I've been doing for the last 3 years.
Okay. And can you tell us why you chose to speak about this subject?
Well, the main reason the theme of the SIG Day interested me, and the main reason I want to talk about this is because I think one of our superpowers as teachers across the whole teaching profession is our ability to think on our feet and to really adapt things in real time. And a lot of my experience has been my role as a teacher being turned on its head because the project didn't really take the direction it was meant to take. And I had to do an extraordinary amount of thinking and working and responding on my feet throughout this project. And very often I found myself in that sort of underdog local teacher position without really the network of support that I could have drawn on, you know. So that's why I think it's really important to talk about these things, because we don't always get to hear the difficult side of things, especially in EMI, I think.
So we're really looking forward to having you there at our PCE.
I'm really looking forward to being there. Thanks for the interview.
Okay, so I'm talking now with Michael Stout, who joins me from Japan. Hello, Michael. Welcome to DevelopPod. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So we're talking because you're going to be one of the speakers at the PCE Day this year. So firstly, can you tell our listeners what you're going to be talking about?
I'll be talking about action research, and I will be sharing some action research projects that I have been involved in over the years.
Okay, interesting. And can you tell us a bit about why you chose this topic?
I chose the topic because I've been doing it. It's been kind of the focus of my research, and action research is a part of becoming a better teacher. So that's why I focus on that.
Can you tell us a bit about, maybe in a bit more detail, about one of the, or maybe the project that you've been working on that you're going to be speaking about?
I'll probably be talking about two projects. One was one that that involved all the native English speaking teachers at the university I was working at the time. And another one that I did with a colleague. It was just two of us. It was an action research project that sought to help our students become better and more fluent speakers of English. And that was a project that we reported in English Language Teaching Journal. So I'll be speaking about those two primarily, I think.
We don't want any spoilers here, of course, but can you tell us maybe one of the takeaways that you took from doing these projects?
Well, I guess the main thing is that it helped me understand how important it is to make decisions based on evidence, you know. I mean, a lot of us, of course, over the years, we come up with our own ideas about what's going on in our classrooms and how to best try to teach our students. And often we end up coming to the wrong conclusion. And we did in the one research project I was telling you about that I did with a colleague. We found that through the process of doing that research project that we had been not giving enough credit to our students. Right. And we also saw that we had different ideas than them, very different ideas. So it was quite revealing.
Interesting. Okay, so you'll definitely be recommending action research to anyone who comes to your presentation, I assume.
Yes, I would. Yes.
Thanks very much for speaking to me, Michael. We appreciate it, and we're really looking forward to seeing your presentation for TDC at the PCE at IITEFL. So we'll see you there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So thank you for listening to this episode of DevelopPod. Don't forget, if you want to come to our post-conference event, then you can go to our website to find out more information about what will be happening. The link is in our episode description, or here it is. It's tdsig.org/PCE. Don't forget, if you want to stay in touch with this podcast, then you can follow TDSIG on social media. Just search for TDSIG or IITEFL TDSIG on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And you can make sure you get the latest episode of the podcast by subscribing in your podcast player of choice, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.